The following message from Bible teacher and pastor Jim Crabb is brought to you by Imago Dei Christian Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.
I'm in Genesis 26. Turn there, please. Genesis 26. Yeah, shout amen or something. Do it. Show a little enthusiasm about something. Praise God. This is a powerful chapter. The whole chapter is powerful. It really is. But we're going to dig out something here for us. And let's go to verse 1. If you're there, say I'm ready. 26:1. You're there? There was a famine in the land. Beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham, and Isaac went unto Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. I could preach all night on what is a Philistine, because we have a whole pack of them today. But I'll wait for another time. 2, and the Lord appeared unto him. Put your hand to heaven and say, I want that to happen to me. Just tell him. It's one thing to know about God, but it's another thing to know him. I love to hear other people's stories, you know, how God spoke to them and God revealed to them. And, you know, some people see angels, you know, and such. I don't know. I like that stuff. But I like it better when they show up for me. I'm glad for your story, but I want my own, praise God. Amen. I mean, I'm glad you're anointed, but I want to be anointed too. Hallelujah. And you're not the only guy that married a good-looking chick either, just for the record, buddy. Amen. And listen to what the Lord said. He actually appeared to say this. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go on down to Egypt and live their way.
No, go not down.
Oh, I'm just seeing if you're following me. Shame on you. We even posted up here for you. You didn't have to dig it out, man. Come on, let me try again. At verse 2, and the Lord appeared unto him and said, tell me out loud, go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Now, you can go on and read down through here. It's pretty cool. But for the sake of time, I want to run to verse 11. And Abimelech charged all his people, saying, he that touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. Now, verse 12. Then Isaac sowed in that land. You look up here a second. You don't get to reap what you want. That's not the law of the kingdom or the law of the land. You reap what you sow for, and you reap from the field you sowed into. Okay? A while back, the Lord showed me a vision. I was praying about some of the folks, some of my partners, you know. I got partners all over the world and friends that helped me preach. And some of them weren't doing so well. And I asked the Lord about it, of course. And the Lord said, well, and you know, you reap from the field you sow into. And some of them were sowing into the heretical preachers and the liars and the cheaters and the hirelings. And that's what they were reaping. And then I fell asleep. You know, it was like 2 in the morning, and I fell asleep, and I woke up early. And I had a little mini dream. You know how kind of you wake up and go back to sleep? And you could call it a vision, I guess, but I call it a little mini dream. And it was a farmer. It kind of reminded me of the old farmer picture, you know. It used to be on the cereal box, you know, a Ma and Pa kettle, and they had a pitchfork in their hand and bib overalls and a farmer. And he owned 2 fields. Yeah. One, a field on his left, 80 acres, and one on his right. Well, he prepared both fields for planting. But when planting time came, he only went out and we'll say the field on the right. He only went out and planted seed in that field. Now, through the summer, you know, harvest time started coming. He looked out his window, and both fields were growing up, one with worthless weeds, stuff from times past. You know, sometimes those weeds, man, they'll grow taller than the real crop, you know. He looked to the right, and it was these beautiful, you know, you know, rows of what he planted. And and I woke up for a second, or I woke up, and in a second, the Lord said, "You see, son, even the farmer knows you only reap from the field you sowed into, not just what you sowed." And that's what we're finding out here in our life right now. I'm not just talking about money, just for the record. There's a lot of stuff you need that if you are the richest person in here, money can't buy it. In fact, the truth is there's more stuff you need that money can't buy than stuff you need that money can buy. I'd like a better amen on that. Amen. Amen. Now, I know this church used to shout amen, so it's got to be all the visitors that are here. Can I have a real amen?
Amen.
Okay. So then, verse 12, then Isaac sowed in that land. He knew where to sow. He sowed in that land. And received in the same year 100-fold.
Yes, he did.
Now, that's not decimal. We're not metric. The kingdom of God doesn't run on the metric system. Some people think that means 100%. Or like Mark 10:29 is the sister verse to this. If you give up your lands, your house, your mother, your brother, your father, you know, et cetera, for the sake of the gospel, you shall receive now in this time 100-fold with persecution. But 100-fold doesn't mean 100%. If all you're going to reap is 100%, then the Lord's only obliged, if you sow a few bucks, he'll multiply it and bring it back 100% to you. Right? Right? Then you're done. You got your return, you're done. But 100-fold means something different, and it's important about what we're doing here tonight and tomorrow. 100-fold means all sufficiency in all things at all times.
Yeah.
Want to say it with me? I'll say it, you say it. 100-fold
means
all sufficiency
in all things
at all times. Now that's a never-ending God moving on our behalf. There's no end to that, man. Woo! Glory to God. I should stop and take an offering right now. Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold. Now, I love this right here. This is my favorite part of this whole verse. Look at this right here. He received 100-fold. Look at this. And the Lord blessed him. The Lord blessing us must be a little bit better than 100-fold. Because it didn't say, and in that the Lord blessed him. It said, and. And. Amen, Jerry. Now, we like pie and ice cream. Not just pie and not just ice cream, but pie and ice cream. This right here said he got 100-fold from God. You can't get 100-fold on your own. Nobody can. No one has such an endless supply as God. No human can do the 100-fold thing. You can receive 100-fold every day of your life unless you blockade God. But if you don't blockade him, it's like, you know, Acts 1:8, and you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost come upon you, etc. And Acts 2 said, and he poured out his spirit. Wait a minute. It doesn't actually. It says he poured out of. Let me help you something. God has not run out of Holy Spirit. He's still pouring. The picture, the vessel in heaven is still tipped. Say it. The vessel in heaven is still tipped. He's still pouring out of his spirit. Amen. Someone said, well, Brother Barclay, will you pray for me that I get hot for God? I said, listen, son, just go home in your house. Turn your thermostat to where you want it to be. You don't have to call me for prayer and say, Brother Barclay, I'm cold. Will you pray that I know enough to turn the thermostat up in my furnace at my house? And the same is true spiritually.
Amen.
I'll pray for you, all right? Turn up your thermostat.
Yeah.
You ought to be sizzling eggs on your spiritual experience, praise God. I'm going to preach whether you say amen. I'm going to preach to this section right here. I feel led to this section right here. Now that section over there, oh, just wave at them once. Poor folks. Oh, poor folks over there, man. quiet, religious, something, I don't know. But this section right here, we are hot for God, man, right here. We're hot for God. Not only a hundredfold, man, that's a never-ending pouring out of. You got to get your mind off from money. That's hard to do. You got to have it. But a hundredfold, man, that's got to do with all 18 wells of life. The Bible tells us of 18 wells that have everything to do with life. And out of these 18 wells, you and I are supposed to receive blessing and strength and vibrancy and the issues of life come out of these wells. If you come in the morning, I'll give you the 18 wells.
Come on now.
If you don't come and you want the recording, it's going to be $321.99. Not really. Verse 13. I like this part too, Rev. Look at this. And the man fell down, got depressed, and quit preaching. And the man waxed, which means grew. Pause and look up here a minute. You know, some people don't like the word grow.
That's true.
They just want it to happen. They just want it to happen. Kids, when they're 13, just want to be 18. They don't want to go from 13 to 18. And I notice most of them don't want to act like 18 when they're 18. They act like 13. But they want to be treated like they're 18. Whatever that magic number came from, I don't know. I've been trying to find I'm an 18 verse in this Bible most of my life, but I can't come up with it. Grew. This man grew great. He wasn't great. He grew that way. You know what growth means, right? It doesn't matter what category you put it in your life. How about your spiritual growth? I've been chasing God since 1972. I've been preaching now. We call it full time. I've been preaching full time now. I just started my 41st year. I've been on every continent of the world. I can't even tell you anymore how many countries we're in. We're just global. Now I'm just talking. I'm not talking about me. Hang on a second. When this says the man waxed great, it doesn't mean like, golly, he's great. Well, that's a matter of opinion. You might think I'm great, and you might think, my God, what do we have him in here for? You know, that's a matter of opinion. But when this says this man grew great, it means vast and wide.
Yeah.
Vast and wide. He just kept growing spiritually, growing, you know, in his person, you know, growing up. Now, I don't do marital counseling like anymore, but we did for a while. We began to realize how worthless that was. And so we didn't do it so much anymore. No one listened anyhow. But you know, when we did do that, we noticed that most of the couples that came to us, now no offense, guys, hang in there. Most of the couples that came to us, what that wife was really saying is, Brother Barclay, is there any way to grow up my husband? He acts like a kid. All he wants is his little gun and bow and arrow and his little ball and his little bat and his little, you know, hockey stick. And if the bill collector's called, he wants me to deal with it. And when the kids are bad, he wants me to. And honestly, I'm not saying that's you, brothers. Cheer up. Praise the Lord. But amen. Unless I've counseled the two of you along the way, maybe, you know, some names do come to me right now, but I won't say them. This man waxed great. He just kept growing up in God. And when you do, then your platform gets broader.
Right.
And you get wider.
Say
that, Pastor. Now, I'm talking about fields, man. I'm talking about possession. I'm talking about your ministry. But let's zero into you personally. You should be more spiritual right now than any time since you met Jesus Christ. You and I, and you should practice this. You and I should be able to look back to 2016 and say, oh, man, I must have been cooled off then. I'm so hot for God right now. I'm percolating, man. You kidding me?
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
And you could take all the, you know, the Jesus said, seek ye first. Do you know that verse, Mark 6, 33? Quote it for me. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added. Yeah, and his righteousness, all these things be added unto you. He didn't say, well, he did, but in that verse he said, he didn't say, seek ye God first. A lot of people say they're seeking God and don't have a thing to do with the kingdom. Their church attendance stinks. They don't read the Bible. They don't pray. They're holding grudges. They're fat. They're sassy. They're worldly. They're dirty. They're pussy from the world. And they say, I love Jesus. But in that verse, in that verse, Jesus was saying, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, there's other verses that says, make Jesus your first love, and you know that. But in Matthew 6, 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, which means his way of living. And all these things that the Gentiles seek, that's what it means. It's in the chapter of the Gentiles seeking. In fact, he says the world, the Gentiles, they seek to have houses and lands and supply and food. And he said, now you can have all, I'll just add it on to you if you'll just seek my kingdom first. Yeah. Well, verse 13, the man waxed great. Now I love this phrase. This phrase fits Mark Barclay. He waxed great, not that phrase, this one. And he went forward. He went forward. Amen. Now, I know I don't look like it, but I used to play ball all when I was a kid and through high school and college, you know. And I played first string baseball and also basketball and also football. And, you know, I was young. I loved it. It was good. But all of that to say, I remember, Tim, I remember something that football coach told me. I was probably 15 years old. Never forgot it. I was a running back. When you're a running back, you're small. And all the other guys are big. And the idea is to not be squashed so you can play again another day. So the coach said, here's the key, Mark. Keep your feet moving at all times. Run over us, run over them, run through the hole, and as long as you can pick those knees up, you just keep picking them up and putting them down, picking them up and put. And then I went in the Marines. You know what that DI said? Just keep picking them up and putting them down, picking them up and putting them down. And that stuck to me. And I think that's why after all these years and all the desertions and betrayals and crud and junk and the devil and demons and stuff threatening our life, yes, I'm still chasing him, man.
Yes.
I'm a professional chaser.
Yes, you are.
Oh yeah, it's the truth, man. My nose is set like a flint, man. I'm locked on Jesus Christ, and if people come running at me to smash into me to knock me off course, I just kind of say, "Excuse that fool. I got to get back on course, man." Praise God. I don't know what they're doing, but I'm going this way right here. Can I have a better amen on it? Now, let's keep reading. I'm running out of time. You're taking too long. Verse 14. He went forward. Well, it goes on to say, verse 12, he grew until he became very great. That's you and me. You don't have a verse that says you don't have to pray now because you've been doing it for so long.
No.
Or you don't need church attendance because, after all, you're busy. This church used to say, amen, I know it's all you visitors that came or something. I don't know. And verse 14, and he had possessions. Why is that listed last? Possessions are listed last. God's bragging about Isaac's promotion in life. And he brags about his sowing, even when it was tough sledding, man. There's two famines now, back to back. Isaac sows. God wrote this book. He's bragging about his son Isaac sowing. Then he's bragging about how he received hundredfold. Then God is saying, hey, I blessed him. He not only had 100-fold, I personally blessed him. You can study that later, but if the Lord blesses you, you're anointed, man. This word of blessed means anointed. And there's a lot of people that aren't anointed that wish they were, because it destroys every yoke, lifts every burden. And then it goes on, you know, we read it, and then it says possessions. But look at verse 15. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines, shouted at me, the Philistines. I've watched this for so long now. The Philistines raid the church. Oh, yeah, little Annie grows up in church, you know. Or little Mary or little Margaret or somebody. They're taught the way of God. They're cuties, they're pretties, they're babies, they're pure. And I don't know what happens. They went to the nursery, the children's church, maybe the youth group, I don't know. And then somehow, I don't know, at the mall, at the theater, I don't know, at school, here comes Philip the Philistine. Now, Philip the Philistine doesn't even look like anything little Margaret's ever seen before. She's never seen a guy look like that. He's punched full of holes, you know, and he doesn't smell right. He smells like something, you know, a nicotine or alcohol or just plain old, we don't have a shower at my house. But she's never seen anything like that. Now, why is she attracted to Philip? He talks wrong. He doesn't look right, he doesn't walk right, and he doesn't live right. Now, why is she attracted to him? All right, equal time. Johnny grows up in church, goes through the nursery, the children's church, probably the youth group, and here comes little Annie, Amalekite. And little Annie, you know, she's got everything wiggling, even the illegal stuff, you know. And so I can understand the sensual part of the attack, but Annie, little Annie, you know, the Amalekite, she don't look right, she don't talk right, and little Johnny, he never seen anything like that before. She don't smell right or nothing. But what is it that he's attracted to her? Yes, you go study the Philistines for yourself. They were more than a group of people. There are modern Philistines, and they have raided our churches. And they have sucked out so many people, and so many young people especially, in an absolute nighttime raid and sucked them right out of the church. I'll leave that alone now because we come to have a happy meeting.
It's all right.
Great. I got to get going. Verse 16, and Abimelech, remember he was the king, said unto Isaac, go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. And Isaac departed thence. That's preaching stuff, ain't it, Roger? And pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. Verse 18, I love this right here. This is me, man. This is what I've been doing most of my life. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father for the Philistines. The Philistines, you think God's trying to make his point? For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham, and he called their names after the names, pay attention, after the names by which his father had called them.
Yes. Amen. It's good, Pastor.
There's always something wrong when anybody at any age wants to do this any different than the way it was handed off to them. They dig these wells, and they didn't rename them because it's a new day.
Yeah, there you go.
And we're a new generation. And thank God Abraham, Isaac could have been a modernist. The modernists are ransacking America and the American church. That's not being contemporary. I said modernist. That's a whole different message.
Yeah.
But being I brought it up. Isaac could have said, I don't know what my dad named him. My dad had names for things, you know, he's old and dead and gone, but we're a new generation. This is what we ought to name it. No, he didn't. The reason that this man changed his world is that when he digged out those wells, he renamed them or named them the same names by which his father had called them.
That's good.
Church is church, not a gathering. Amen. Worship is worship, not a song service. Ladies and gentlemen, contrary to modernist young preachers, this is not a podium, sweetheart. This is a pulpit. I am not a public motivational speaker. I am a preacher. I'm a man of God. This is not the curriculum. Clap real good. If you're going to clap, do it. I'll pause a minute. Go ahead. Clap for a minute. Amen. Amen on that. Hey, listen now, listen. This is not the curriculum, fathead. This is the Holy Scriptures. This is the Word of the living God. This is not to be deluded. This is not to be downplayed. This is not written by man. This is God's Word. Hey, I'm at the holy altars of God. This is the house of God. This isn't the campus, man. I'm not your professor.
Amen.
This is not curriculum, and your tithes and offerings are not the tuition. Bless God, if I don't like what they preach here, I'm just going to go over there. Yeah. Well, there's a problem with that, buckaroo. You're going to be there.
Come on.
I learned that from my granddaughter. I don't think I'm supposed to be doing that at 65. But anyways, he named these wells the same things that his dad named them. We got to get going. Verse 19. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. Say life.
Life.
You know what a spring is, right? A natural spring. You don't have to have a pump. You don't have to purify it. It's just a natural spring. It just flows from the belly of the earth. And, amen. I used to live in California. There's a place in Carlsbad, California, not New Mexico. Carlsbad, California, that they have this natural spring, and it's rated the most alkalinity water in the United States of America and one of the top 2 to 3 waters in the entire world. And you can just go fill your container. It just kind of constantly flows night and day, and it has for decades and decades and generations, and it's the purest. And if you know anything about health, then alkalinity is a whole lot more important than hydration. It's not just a matter of liquid. It's what your liquid is. Amen. And so when this says springing, they dug up just a little bit, now come this springing well. They didn't have to dig a hole and fetch it with a bucket. It just starts springing up, man.
Springing out.
Amen. And if you go down, look at this, verse 20. And the herdman of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdman. The water is ours. And he called the name of the well Esek because they strove with him. 21. They digged another well. 22. And he removed from the fence and digged another well. Hey, it seems to me like once you start digging wells, you don't ever stop digging wells the rest of your life, man.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's how I've been living.
Yeah.
I met a person, not a human, but a person in 1972 as a young Marine leader in Vietnam. His name was Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Now, I met, not that it has to be this way, but it's my true story. I met Jesus Christ before I met the church. I met Jesus Christ before I ever read a Bible. I met Jesus Christ before anybody ever gave me a Christian book. I met Jesus Christ, the person of. And one of the things, and you pastors, I think, will probably say amen. One of the things I've discovered in my walk with God since 1972, I discovered that a lot of people have met the church. They've met our music, they've met our youth group, they met the congregation, but amen, they met our Bible, but they have not had a personal encounter with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's why they so easily turn back. Amen. Now, I had some wells to dig, man. I had some wells to dig when I got born again. And those believers around me, I can't go into that tonight. But, man, those believers, that first church I went to had their hands full. That first pastor I had, I told him, he's a full-blooded Cherokee native raised in the reservation in Oklahoma. That's my first pastor. And Roger, you've been at this a long time, man. I learned two things when I first started in Christianity. Jesus Christ told me one. Right after I met him, not too long, I was at China Beach, sitting on a bar stool, because just because people are born again doesn't mean they're fixed yet.
There you go. There you go.
We're not talking about the pig, the sow, that Peter talked about, that you wash them up and they're good and they're clean, but they run to the muck and the mire. There's a lot of Christians that are just pigs, man. We're not talking about them. That's their choice. They don't have to run. They just do. Or Peter, the same Peter said, hey, we're not talking about the dog. You know, Peter said, there's that dog. He was sick in the world. He come and puked it all up, laid down, and looked at the puke and went and lapped it back up. That's what you Christians are doing when you go lap it back up. Sorry, Bow Wow, but that's... Get mad at me and don't ever listen to me again. And I appreciate the compliment, but I didn't write the Bible. I'm just telling you what it says. I mean, get mad at me if you want to, but I'm not that high that I've written. And furthermore, by the way, remind me to tell those two things, Roger. By the way, this young person came to me and said, Dr. Barclay, listen, I know, you know, I'm in sexual perversion. At least she knew. And she knew it was perverted. Some people are sexual everything. As long as it's sexual, they think it's legal. By the way, just because it's legal doesn't mean it's right. The word legal means man's approves of it. Most everything man approves of, the Bible's against. Choose ye this side who you're going to be with. But she said, you know, I got some issues, but you know I'm good in the band, and I want to keep playing. And, you know, I'm like the heart of this band at our church. And I said, come here. I dedicated her as a baby. And of course, she's not a baby now. She's a young adult at that time. I said, come and hug me once. I'm your like your daddy. Hug me. And I said, thank you for the compliment. I'm not sure anybody's ever complimented me this high before. She says, what are you talking about? I said, well, you must think I'm pretty high and mighty that you can come to me and I can exempt you from living according to the scriptures. I didn't know you had such a high esteem of me that you think I can edit God and break rules for you because, after all, I'm the pastor. And I said, thank you, man. That may be the highest flattery I've ever had. But the truth is, I'm just a mere servant, and I don't have this high place that you think I do that I can say to you, young lady, well, God says no, but Mark says yes, so I guess yes it is, you can play in the band. You know why y'all look like you know who I'm talking about? Because y'all know somebody just like that. And they're mad at the preacher, and they're mad at the church, and they're running, you know, like they're like Cain. They can't live and they can't die. They're marked. They can't live and they can't die. They just they're going to run the rest of their life till they get this thing right. Because God, he's not going to edit his word to please you or me. You know, it's just not going to happen. Back to my two things. So I'm sitting on this, I was telling Jim, not you, yeah. I was sitting on this bar stool because that's what we did. You know, that's why I don't get Christianity. People want to make it so complicated. It's easy. When I was a sinner, I drank and I went to the bar. I never went to church. I never went to church. We didn't say, let's get a case of beer and go to church. Are you kidding me? Listen, I'd never been to church in my life before I met Christ at about 19 and a half years old, but I would never even drive on the church asphalt and drink beer and carry on. And no one, I don't know where I got that from. I've never been to church, but we all said, don't go on God's property and drink beer.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Nowadays, the preachers will say, hey, praise God, want to get a beer?
That's exactly right.
Come on. Okay, anyways, I was sitting there. And God said to me, I never heard the voice of God before. God said, look around, and I did. And he said, do you want to be like this? And I said, I am like this. except for unborn, you know, all the other Marines.
Yeah.
And I said, I am like this. He said, I want you to leave these people and go cleave to mine and don't ever leave them. Leave these people, cleave to mine, and don't ever leave them. First word I ever heard from heaven. I'm so glad. I'm so glad. Because it's, honestly, honey, it's Philip the Philistine or Annie the Amalekite that's filling our wells with sand. That's why people say they love God, they've met God, they, you know, et cetera, but they're living like that sour dog belly and that sow. And they don't tell me they're happy just because they fake it. How you doing? I've never been better. Now you've gone to lion. You're not only a pig, you've gone to lion. Give me a break. We're all smarter than that. Right? The second thing I ever learned, Pastor Jim, when I finally, I did what God said. I didn't know how to do what God said. And that's a whole story on its own. But I found this church eventually. You know, I come home from Vietnam. We went church hunting. I found it. And that's why I found Billy Falling, my first pastor. Anyways, this is the first thing he taught me. He said, you realize, don't you, Mark, that when you were born again and you accepted Jesus, and it was like slow motion to me. You gave your life to Jesus. You are not your own anymore. Your life is over. It doesn't count anymore.
Yeah.
I told him, I said, no one ever told me that, but I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it, but no one did tell me that till I met you, Pastor.
Yeah.
That's one of the finest things Mark Barclay has ever been told at any time in his life. Because you know why? When the sugar daddy movement came around, and God's nothing but a sugar daddy, live how you want to, sexually perverted, drunken, druggy, lying, cheating, church skipping, tithe stealing, you know, any way you want to. Just people live how they want to. And you know why they do that? Because God's their sugar daddy. He is supposed to be there when we pray. He's supposed to be there when we're in trouble. Bless God, I gave. Now, where's my hundredfold return? I tithe. Where's my blessing? I went to church four times in a row. Where's this God? Where's his big, see, sugar daddy? But right from the beginning, and I'm so grateful for this. I hope you had someone tell you the same thing. I'm so grateful that I learned right from the get-go. Mark Barclay, your life is over. You don't ever again decide what you're going to do. You don't ever again decide what you're going to be. You're going to be what God tells you to be, and you're going to do what God tells you to do, and you're going to spend your entire life serving God. And you know what? That was 1970-something by the time I got home from Nominal. That's 1970-something. This is 2017, for those of you that are just catching up. And I'm still living by those two statements.
Yes, you are.
I have no Philistines in my life, and there are no Amalekites.
Amen.
There aren't any. And the problem, listen, they're going to fill your well with sand. Philistines on purpose. You understand the principle here, right? I got to quit preaching because I want to pray for it. You understand the principle? Why would they do that? Because water in the desert land and in what the Bible calls the wilderness, it's everything. It's not some things.
Everything.
The water's everything. And even among armies, if you notice, that the Philistines and the Amalekites, they weren't godly people. They weren't gracious people. They would take over those villages by force. And when they were done watering their animals and watering themselves and their family and everything that water does for a human, and then they would cistern as much as they could and pile it on the donkeys and the wagons and haul off. But because they knew the Israeli army was coming in next, they would fill those wells with sand. So even though the army of Israel drove them from that town, it doesn't matter because there's no life there. They filled the wells with sand. Now, when I read that story, man, that we're reading, one of the things that hits me is how come no one before Isaac dug those wells out? Where are all the well diggers?
That's
Why are we drying up? You know, some Christians, man, you break them and they're like powder inside, like a pretzel powder comes out. They're not even moist for God.
That's right.
Amen. And they dug out those wells. But once they learned about this, they just kept digging. They dug out all their father's wells. You know what that means to you and me? I'm going to challenge you with something. You need to go back and dig out everything that's ever been imparted to you by the man of God in your life.
Amen.
Before you ever go, wait. Before you ever go dig your own little wells and decide your own little decisions and do, I'm helping you right now. A lot of people say, well, that's old fashioned, that's yesteryear. They don't get it. Oh, we get it, honey. I told our youth group, you think you're the only kids that ever kissed in the back of a Chevrolet? Huh? They look at me, I'm 65. They look at me like, he's old. He probably don't know about that. I said, I kiss better than the whole pack of you. And I got 47 years of holy matrimony of practice.
Yeah, man.
Hallelujah. How long you been married now? You better come up with it. You're on the recording.
36.
She's probably streaming right now. How many?
36.
Yeah, see, you're well practiced now. Huh? So they didn't start out by digging their own well and naming it. That's what I'm going to be. That's what I'm going to do. That's old fashioned. I ain't doing that anymore. I'm going to do this instead. I notice every time you bypass the system of God and you dig a well, it don't last long. You know how many lower legs and feet I see all over this country? People, young people especially, because they're normally the ones, you know, looking at their future. They fell in their well, and all that sticks up is like knee up in their feet, and I see them all the time. They're really a big deal. Look what we're doing. I can't even see you, man. Nice feet. What are you talking about, man? What are you doing? Well, we don't know what we're doing, but it's new. Oh, it's not new, man. The Philistines have been around a long time. Can I have a better amen?
Amen.
Now, before we pray, let's just break this down really quick to where we live. Nobody can mess with your spiritual life quicker than a Philistine or an Amalekite. If you're not willing to abandon sinners and join the church and let them go, I didn't say hate them, I didn't say hurt them, and I didn't say stop evangelizing them. I didn't say that. If you and I stop evangelizing them, they're going to go to hell on our watch. Many of them are going to hell on our watch anyhow. But we're not going to push them there. But I learned this. See, my daddy was he's a hunting fishing guide, and so my daddy, we'd go bass fish. Man, I like to bass fish. Any fishermen in here besides me? Anybody like to bass fish besides? Oh, man. Oh, that's good. But the church, see, they think to catch a big bass, you got to put on a bass uniform and jump out of the boat. I hear it all the time. Man, I'm just sleeping with her so I can get her saved. Well, we're sharing wacky tobacco because we revelate better under that. It's called hallucinate, darling. It's not revelating. And people are so lied to think that you're going to win the Philistines by dressing like a Philistine and acting like a Philistine. This one young preacher, he called me and he redesigned his whole church, his whole dress code, his whole everything looked there. And he made it kind of, worldly looking. He's probably not worldly living, but the church looked just like a nightclub. And so he called me about a year later, and he said, I don't understand. The guy, I copied the guy down the road. He's got about 1,000 members. I dress like him. We sing a lot. We preach little. We never talk about sin, and we never talk about tithe, you know, all the new Antichrist movement. And so he said, I did all that. And he said, my church shrunk 100 people. I said, really? He goes, well, I don't understand. Why is it working for the guy down the road and all that? I did exactly what he does, and it didn't grow my church. I said, oh, son, you're too good to be bad. Don't you know people come in and they can tell? Yeah, all you do is run off of Christians who thought for a minute you might have been sane and spiritual. So you not only ran most of them off, but you attracted all these people. But when they come in the door, Jesus Christ said, the people of this world are wiser when it comes to the darkness and the things of this world than the children of light. So you don't think, listen, man, I can put holes in my britches. I'm not against holy britches. In fact, now at Nordstrom's for $475, you can buy pre-soiled jeans. Now, I got a word. Wait a minute. Pause. I got a word for you. Go buy your jeans. Bring them tomorrow. I'll take them home. Michigan has some of the best dirt and manure in the land. I will dirty them up, and then I'll only charge you $375. And we'll pay the postage. And I'll put all that money into the kingdom of God. Now, Nordstrom's don't like it when I teach like this. But I can pre-dirty. I can pre-holy. I can, you know. But you know what the problem will be? Everyone who comes in looking for a carnal preacher will look at me and listen to me and say, he's not that way. He's faking it. He's trying to fool us. Barclay's trying to fool us. He's not really like that. He don't really dress like that. He's trying to fool us. And that's why I told this young preacher, you're not bad enough. I mean, you're too good to be bad. They know it. You know? I'm just kind of taking a break. You all have been, so I just thought you all have your holy moments of silence. I think I'll just take one. You know, there's only one thing worse, right, than a boring preacher. A boring congregation. Oh, God Almighty. Sorry, Lord, I've tried to get through this message, but, you know, praise God. Hallelujah. False doctrine will throw dirt in your well. Yo, I'm going to help you now. Dig out your well of what you've been taught from the scriptures and stop falling for the teachers that are telling you there's no hell. And there's no judgment day, and you don't have to follow the teachings of Jesus Christ, and you don't read parts of your Bible, and you don't ever repent for anything, and you never have to feel sorry, and never apologize for anything. Now, I've been married 47 years. If I stopped apologizing, listen, I'm the breaker, Vicky's the glue. Huh? Come on, guys, all of us. But yet, all this false doctrine, that because I'm born again, I don't have to follow Jesus Christ. Find me one verse that Jesus said, all you have to do is believe in me. Find me a verse that says, where Jesus said, I'm just so insecure and alone, I need to be accepted. Would you accept me? Would just anybody accept me? I saw they're sending this picture around, like all the social sites, and it was Jesus talking to a bunch of people, and they quoted the verse, hypocrites, snakes, vipers, whitewashed sepulchers. Yeah. That's Jesus preaching. And at the bottom of it says, Jesus would never be accepted in the church today.
That's true.
And he's not.
That is true.
Now, if you listen to that, that's the Philistines.
That's right.
Now they may be Christian ministers, but they're like Philistines. They're kicking dirt in your hole, man. And pretty soon you won't know what you believe. You'll be raised one way, and now y'all look like I'm picking on you, but I've been digging by myself here for almost an hour. You know, I mean, I've been digging out our wells here. Now, in a few minutes, you all going to get a shovel. You do know this, right? I'm not. I got enough issues digging out my own wells now. I've been digging for 60 minutes. Now, you get ready. We're about to go to digging here in just a minute. You got to watch what you listen to and who you listen to and what you believe, or they'll throw dirt in your well. You not only might change your mind about major doctrines, but you might just get so confused you don't know what you believe anymore. Or you'll begin to say it doesn't matter what we believe. Doctrine isn't important. Or how about purity? That's a Bible word. I know some of you don't know it. You don't read your Bible, but the word pure is in the Bible. How about holiness? How about holiness? We're commanded in the New Testament to perfect holiness in our lives in the fear of God. Right? But if you get running with the Philistines, you're not willing to leave them. Well, I grew up with them. You know, I'm trying to quit. Tish, would you pray more that I would just stop and pray for people? Get busy, will you? You think a holy woman after 30 years, by the way, congratulations, that you not only, you know, did a church for 30 years, but you did it with Roger. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thou art a holy woman. Amen.
Wow.
You got to, so if we, if you're not willing to give up those people.
That's right.
Right now, 7.5, so we'll say 8. We'll round it up to 8. Out of all the adultery cases in the body of Christ, 8 of them start on social sites looking up people from their past. 8 out of 10 Christian church adultery cases are people looking up their first kiss, though they're 45 years old, and they're going back. Amen. Do what you want to do. I'm not your God, but don't you understand the Philistines are just throwing?
Yeah, man.
You can't run with any Philistine. They're into dirt, man. They're not into water. They're into dirt.
The dirt, that's good.
You run with dirt, you get dirty. Isn't this deep? Isn't this going deep now? Okay. So purity, holiness, and your doctrine and what you know. These are the wells of life. What about your walk with God? What about your walk with God? Who's messed that up? The book of Galatians says you were running so well.
Yep.
You know that verse? You were running so well. What's it say next? Who, not what, who cut in on you and stopped you from obeying the whole truth? Yeah, you can do what you want. We can't force you to do anything we want. But you ought to dig out your wells or what's going to happen, even your walk with God. Before you know it, your church attendance will stink. You come when you want to, you go when you want to, you do what you want to. And you'll think it's okay because you're saved by grace. Well, if you're not saved by grace, honey, you're not saved. Now, we'll give you that. But Jesus said, come and follow me. And I'll make you what I want you to be. So, your spiritual walk with God, the Philistines. It's easy to stay home in your underwear, eat popcorn, and watch the internet preacher. Now, don't criticize TV preachers, but I can. I reach now about 75 million people every Sunday. Now, if you're not a TV preacher, just smile really big. But I am one, so speaking of us, a lot of TV preachers, you can't call them for help. They could care less about you. And you're not really still falling for send me $1,000 today on Wednesday and you'll be totally rich and happily married by Friday. Please tell me you're beyond that. This section looks sad. I'm going to go over here before we close. Are y'all okay over here? You did it, didn't you? You did it, didn't you, huh? Ken, did you do it? You sent him $1,000, did you, man? Yeah, okay, well, what can I say? Yeah, amen, okay. That's what the prophet does, you know. We just kind of tell stories and get in there and whack you once in a while, you know, praise the Lord. So you have to dig out the wells. They don't dig themselves out. The Philistines won't dig them out for you. They're not into water. They're into dirt. What's your church attendance like? Maybe you got to dig out the well of church attendance. Maybe that's the clog.
Yes.
Maybe it's worthless to you now. Maybe you're sad, mad, bad, hurt. I don't know. Maybe you convinced yourself you're busy. You're busy. You're too busy for God. You're important. You got roses to grow and kids to take to softball and cars to wash and TVs to watch. You know, all the things that aren't eternal. I'm not, you all look like I'm rebuking you, but I'm not. But maybe you got to dig out the well of church attendance. Maybe that's your weakness. Maybe somewhere along the line, I don't know, was it somebody? Was it me? Was it Pastor Jim? Was it Brother Big Mouth, Sister Snotty? I don't know. But, or maybe you're just arrogant and everybody offends you. Or then again, maybe you're so cool you don't like hanging around hot coals. You know? I don't know. But I know that if you would judge yourself, you might take a look at your church attendance. Right? Well, I don't think I'm going to hell if I miss church. Okay, Thomas. Hey, the Apostle Peter, the Apostle Paul, the Apostle John, and Doubting Thomas. But Thomas was a great apostle and actually did a great work for God and died for the cause. But you don't know any of that. All you know is Doubting Thomas because he missed one service. He missed one, the one Jesus showed up. And then even then, Raj, when the disciples said, oh, you missed it, man, Jesus was here. I don't believe it. Nah, he wasn't here. See? So maybe it's your church attendance. You think I'm still preaching, but this is my altar call. Sorry if it doesn't fit you, but this is all you're getting. Then I'm gonna put a hand on somebody. Maybe it's maybe one of the wells you've allowed to get clogged up is your marriage or your courtship. Maybe there's a third person in there now. Or maybe it's you, her, and pornography. I don't know. But is your marriage all clogged up? Have the Philistines got to you? You keep looking for the well of life. Marriage is one of the greatest things God ever gave mankind. But I'm a living witness to that. But is yours all filled with sand? Maybe that's what you got to dig out. Maybe it's your money. The blessing of God in economy is a great well of life. Is it your money that's all messed up? Well, excuse me a minute. Mark to heaven. I believe I've killed another congregation. They're like dead quiet, Jesus. I don't know what's happened here. So, we were, I was at my home church a while back. We're shooting television at church. And everybody got so quiet that I literally stopped and said, ladies and gentlemen, by television and the internet, these are not mannequins. This is not a set. They really do live and breathe. Now, they're not doing it right now, but if I was to say the word, you're dismissed, they will come alive. I mean, they will shout amen and run around this church. Oh, stop it. Give somebody a high five. Come on. Just say, he helped me tonight. Praise God. Turn around, tell somebody, and say, you need to listen to this man. Now, let's stand together for a minute. Come on. Let's stand together for a minute. Now let's pray in the Spirit. Let's pray in the Holy Ghost. If you're not Spirit-filled, Lord, say, fill me right now with the Holy Ghost. Loose my tongue to pray. We're going to dig out our wells. That's what we're here to do tonight. That's what we're here to do in the morning. That's what we're here to do tomorrow night. I don't judge you. You don't judge me. But we better judge ourselves. Amen. Where am I at? Where's my mouth at? Where's my heart at? Where's my spiritual walk at? How many Philistines are in my life? How many Amalekites are kicking dirt in my well? How about my marriage? How about my Bible study? How about my Bible time? Lebota. Come on, let's pray in the Spirit now. Levo salamando liaboshike. Lefasana lemboda lista kesho lamahasata. Bless us, 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 bless us. Stand up here, you two. Come on, darling. Lebota dina. Kalabo sena masine la gandola masa. Kandola bosha kelebada. I'm giving you an assignment to match that has been already bestowed upon you. Bring me where's my oil, Ray? Thanks. That which has already been bestowed upon you to help my people. But tonight, I add to you a word of deliverance that will be in both of your mouths. A word of deliverance will be in your mouth. That's why no matter what you do and teach on, it keeps bubbling to the surface. You can't help it. You even said later, I meant to teach on that. I don't know why I always get on that. Because I have placed that in you, and you are going to set a lot of people free. Now, I don't say this as a nifty little thing because of what I preached on. But you got a shovel in your hand, man. And people are going to come to you, and instead of giving them your little 2 cents worth and listen to all their little crud, you're going to say, take this shovel, meet me at the altar. We're going to dig out this well right here, and water is going to flow once again. You are a life giver. Ha! You're a life giver. You're anointed to bring life into the great kingdom of God. There is life in your mouth. There is life on your lips. You are a well of life. You are a well of life. And those that are thirsty are going to find you. Ama Satoba. Shekola Mandela Bosate. Come on here, brother. Come here, Pastor. Kato So Mandola Boshe Kendo La Mosata. I put my hand on you tonight. The Lord says, I'm sending you as a rescuing agent into the streets. Into those that are not going to come find you, you're going to go find them. And they're going to chase you. They're already hearing about you. They're already hearing about you. Now, the religious church is going to have a little trouble with you, son, but I don't. Just live right. Don't just talk good. Live a good example before those people. But the anointing of God is going to come on you, and you're going to reap them like brands out of the burning. Ha! In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So come on. Levote la moshe la bonde la. Let's just pray for him for a minute. Nema seko da shika la manda. Leba sakondo. Libo. Libo telekenda. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yes. 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 Yes, my Lord. Yes, my Lord. Lama Soko Dola Moshe Kane Delamanda. Come up here, Reverend. Come here, son. Father, I thank you. Oh. The Lord says you're way beyond inheritance. You're way beyond what you've inherited. You're walking, you're in your own lane now. You're under your own mantle now. But I'm gonna require of you to teach some of the sharpest sermons and teachings you have ever done in your life. I'm anointing you. I'm going to embolden you to confront. You're going to be a confronter. Your people at first are going to say, what on earth has happened to him? There'll be little babies that'll be offended. You are not a man pleaser. You were not raised to be a man pleaser, and you don't have what it takes to be a man pleaser. You're my son. And I'm your God, and I'm going to require of you to sharpen both edges of your sword and deliver it with fire in your belly and boldness in your mouth. And as you do, there will be a great manifestation of my spirit. The ministry will grow, and money will come, and the anointing of God will come. Now let's pray for him. Raise a hand up here. Come on, raise a hand to him. It's his day. It's our time. It's our time. It's our time. Put a hand on him, Jim. It's our time. It's our time. It's our time to be anointed by God. Money and people. Money and people. And the anointing of God. Oh, let's praise him a minute. Come on. Let's praise him a minute. We love you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Come here, both of them.
Jesus, I'm hungry.
Father, I thank you
for
in the name of Jesus.
Jesus, I'm lonely.
Thank you, Lord. The Lord says you have labored and toiled so hard. And you have fruit, but not enough. Get ready, my son, because fruit is about to plop out on your trees.
Yeah.
You're about to enter one of your most fruitful seasons of your life and your ministry.
Yeah.
La Moseca, I'm already redirecting people to you. They're going to find out this man and woman, they bear the truth. They're not cheaters. They're not liars. They're the real deal. And people are going to hunt you down. They're going to drive distances to get underneath your anointing. Lama selama. I anoint you for it. I put oil on you for it. In the name of Jesus, I agree with you for supernatural promotion of God. Leba kode la masse lebo shongondi la masse le leba lego de la mastanda nima sata. Who cares what man says? Who cares about all their sass and all their limitations? My daughter, when I tell you to prophesy, prophesy. When I tell you to stand up and speak, speak. When I tell you even to confront, you do it. You mother the flock of God. And that means the sons as well as the daughters. I thank you for that anointing that's on their life. May money come and may their ministry grow. And may your church be a great place for people to come and just dig out their wells, man. Just dig out their wells. In the name
Jesus,
of Jesus.
I'm lonely
in the name of Jesus.
For you.
Lord,
you
are. Glory to God. Glory to God. Just pray, everybody. Mind your own business. Just pray. La basso la mande da bosha. Le basondo da masi gendo la bosha. Leafle. Leba. Le mando la bona catela ma. Just pray in the Holy Ghost, everybody. Le basso la mama mango do la bahata. Le for la kite. Le for la mando di adasha. Le for son do di la grido diva. Bebo si ka shaka. Le mondo diva. Le mase. Le se riva shaka. Lebo singa la mashaka. Lebo so
kego la mashaka. Lebo so kego.
Now the Lord says, I got you covered. I got you covered. You're my little daughter, and I got you covered. And the future, I got you covered in that too. I know it's been scary. I know it has. I know it's hurt your heart. I know it's been so hard to walk this walk. But I tell you, because you're my daughter, I'm just going to keep touching you and him, and I'm going to keep blessing you, and I'm going to keep strengthening both of you. And the Lord says, it's going to be all right because I got your back and I got you covered. Now, I feel a strong anointing. You're one courageous woman. I know you don't feel like it. I know that. You're one courageous woman. And the Lord says, your courage didn't leak from you. You spent it all. You spent it in this field of battle. You're a champion and you're a warrior. And you're to be highly regarded and highly rewarded out of the field of battle. It didn't leak out of you. You've done nothing wrong. The Lord wants me to say that to you. You have done nothing wrong. You did not miss it. This is a horrible attack, but you are my champion, and I choose to bless you in it. Do you want to pray for it, whether you know her or not? Lift a hand up here. Come on, I love you. Hug me. Oh, Jesus, I thank you. Come on, Sarah. We love you so much. Sing something. Let's sing with them. Let's sing a minute. Come on.
You're all I. Jesus,
now promotion's about to fall upon your life.
Hallelujah.
You dig out these couple of wells you got to work on and get them flowing again. Just be tough about it. Be straight about it. Just get after it. You know what to do. You're like me, both of you. You're delivered.
Hallelujah.
You're blessed. Dig out these other wells. Watch what happens. Now watch me. Look up here. I'm going to step right into this circle right here. Now, when I tell you to, you take two steps forward. And when you stand right there, the anointing is going to come on you. You're going to take it home with you. It's the power you've been looking for to totally go to the next level. Never to be held back again. You're going to the next level of the walk of God. Amen?
Amen.
Step into it right now. Watch them, ushers. Ha! Sebonda mo sika. In the name of Jesus. Thank you. They're going to the next level. They're going to the next level. They're going to the next level. They're going to the next level.
Jesus,
they're going to the next level. They're going to the next level.
For you. Jesus.
Preachers that are here, come up here. I'm going to anoint you with oil. Even if I did, a couple of you. We got our job. We got our work cut out for us now, man. Yes, we do. But we're there. We're capable. And we're going to do it. Amen. Amen. We're not man pleasers. I got over people liking me a long time ago. Big deal. Big deal. Seiko La Masha. Seiko. Oh, Josh. I wish you could see clearly what a champion you are. And what a powerhouse you are. But I'm not sure you ever will. You're so humble. You're like me. You're just very grateful, man. But your tomorrows are great, the Lord says. They're not okay. They're not just okay. They're not, oh my, what am I going to do? And when we were at lunch today, I almost jumped across the table and said, Josh, wait till you see how God's going to use you now.
Amen.
Yeah. Supernatural doors will open to you now. And you're going to work less and get a whole lot more done for God.
There you go.
And you know, I see in the spirit, they're going to be one, two, a little trickle, and then there's going to be a lot of people coming to you and say, teach us what you did. Teach us what to do about this. How do we get people free? What do we do about it? And they're going to come to you. Some of them are calling you dad. Some are going to call you grandpa. And you're going to be one of those who imparts now at this time of your life. Thank you, Lord. I say you're strong. You want anointing for it? Let's do it. Father, I thank you for this faithful man. This whole region would not be the same if it wasn't for this ministry right here. This ministry has affected every ministry in this region in one way or another. Now strengthen this body to be able to do what you're calling him to do. Strengthen this body. Strengthen this body. Strengthen this body. Strengthen this body. James B. Roger, put a hand on him. Strengthen this body. Put a hand on him. Strengthen this body. Heal this body so he can do the work of God. La boca tola masa kendo la bosha. To do the work of God. To do the work of God. To do the work of God. Yeah. Yes. The ministry he has left to do. Yes. Yes. La masa kendo la masa kendo la masa kendo. Father, I thank you. I anoint you with oil for the tomorrows of your ministry to flourish. To flourish. Finally, to see it working. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you, Lord. I anoint James and Sarah for the greatest days of their ministry. My son, I know your heart yearns for the outpouring of the Spirit. Your heart yearns. You cry out for the manifestation of the things of God. Oh, not so much just at the altar, but in people's lives. And you're going to be around to see me do it just before I manifest. Yes! And I thank you for that sweet, sweet anointing to fall on them. And I say this ministry is going to grow hungry people. People hungry for the Bible. People hungry for the Holy Ghost are going to find this couple. And I thank you for it. It's going to grow. It's going to grow. I speak life to it. I speak growth to it. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Sebadola Mashakanda. It isn't. This might be for all of us, I'm not sure. It isn't so much the condition of the preacher as it is a backslidden nation.
There you go.
Carnal people want a carnal preacher. Worldly people hate a holy house and they run from it. But you have nothing to offer them, son, but word and spirit.
Yes.
That's the only tools in your chest.
Yes.
I was telling the guys earlier, preachers, I said, you know, I went to my family doctor a few years ago. I was fighting something. And I said, Doc, now listen, I don't want any surgery, okay? And I'm not going to live on drugs, okay? He shook my hand, Roger, and he said, it's been nice knowing you, Reverend. I said, well, what does that mean? He said, that's all I offer. You took away the only two things. I can diagnose work, but the only thing I have to offer you, son, is pharmaceutical and surgery. Those are my two tools. And I thought about that. And a while back, I was thinking about someone is trying to make me into a carnal preacher. Well, if you just quit preaching this and quit doing that, we'll bring you money. And one couple said, we have about 100 people. We can't find a church anywhere. I said, you're not looking for a church.
Yeah.
You're looking for a perverted center with a beer tent or something. You found the wrong guy. And that's all we have to offer. That's all we got to offer is the Word of God and the Spirit of God. We don't have anything else in our tool chest. Right? Yeah. And I believe this. People right now are so hurting, many people, even God's people, they're in so much pain. Their wells are so filled with sand. They have memories of walking with God. They have memory of what it was like to be moist and watered and full of the Holy Ghost and serving God and loving church and serving with all their heart and how excited they were. They couldn't hardly get there. And when you'd quit at 9 o'clock, they'd say, what are you doing, preacher? We pay you better than that. Let's keep going. Do something different. They have memories. But as we help, you're on this, Jim. When we help them dig out their wells, they're not going to live by the memory of what it was like. They're going to have fresh water again flowing. And therefore, they're going to find us, man. They're going to hunt us down and find us. They are. Amen. That carnal preacher, there's nobody getting healed. There's nobody getting help. A young pastor, he's got about 2,500 people or something. He said, Brother Barclay, I don't understand what's wrong with my church. Got a beautiful building, a couple thousand people plus, and just nothing happening around here. I said, son, you're like a hospital or the empty rooms and say, come on, we got room for you, but there's no lights on, we're out of electricity, and we've run out of medicine. But bless God, we still got a room for you. I said, now you wanna help people? Get the medicine back. His name is the Holy Ghost. The Word of God. Isn't that right?
That's right.
That's right. Oh. Man, here I am preaching again. I'm supposed to be anointing you with oil. It's your fault. I know it is. I anoint you for tomorrows to prosper. Thank you, Lord. We're going to be those wells. We're going to be well diggers. People are going to come to us. We're going to hand them a shovel. Say, here's your fix. Here's how you do this. 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 Praise God. You know what? I feel impressed to pray also for your protection. Protect him in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Be anointed by God. May they find you. May they hunt you down and find you. In the name of Jesus. Seko le mandalia no shakola vosilama le bandelo le bosta kaden le mazangande la bosta kola moshe lende. Yeah. You'll be used even more to help people, to corral people, to lay hands on people. Yeah, the anointing's coming on you. It's going to continue to come on you. You're going to be the greatest asset that you've ever been in this kingdom. That's what the Lord says to you. I thank you for it. I see it. I see it working. Is he helping you in the church? Yeah, I get it. Wow. You know, there is such a thing as a true elder. Oh, I feel the anointing going on you right now. Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Whoa! Oh, my Lord. Wow. Wow. You're not done. You're not finished. I'm not through with you. No, 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 no. I'm still going to use your mouth. I've given you a good mind. I've put my anointing on you. And it's just going to keep happening for you. It's just going to keep working for you. Lord, open supernatural doors of utterance for this man so he can be used like never before. Seketo Lamasha Kenda. Rick, you will pastor again. We almost thought we had the spot, didn't we? Insecurity messed that up. But I anoint you for it. It's got to happen. We need you now, not tomorrow. God's people need you now, not tomorrow. I anoint you for it in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Open a supernatural door. A supernatural door. Se baba dola basa ke la boshina ma le mondalia gajungundola masa. Open that door for him and use him in this great kingdom. That's what I pray. Use him in this great thing. Bill, come down here. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, I thank you. The Bible says, a faithful man who can find. James P. Crabb did. Mark Barclay did when we found you, Bill. A faithful man who loves God. Now I'm going to throw a fresh blank of an anointing on your entire family. I'm going to track each one down, and I'm going to pick my time, and I'm going to throw a fresh mantle of anointing on every one of them. And I'm going to do it, son, in honor of your service to me, the King. And I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to anoint you, and I'm going to prosper you. And the days that are ahead of you are your greatest yet. I speak it over you. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Come on, do the Masa Dala Masha Kando Ramosa Dalama. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh yeah. It's like the wall was built and it got bashed into and the bricks started flying off from it. But the Lord said, I'm a great wall builder. And I'm about to put every block back in its place. And as you dig out the wells, just like you've heard the man of God teach tonight. I look back there more than once and I saw you really drawing on God and His anointing. You need some answers, but you mostly just need God to show up and let the water flow again. You dig out your wells. You know what they are. You get busy. You get busy. Make tonight's your night. You make a great determination and watch me bless your life in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now talk to her, Lord. Talk to her, Lord. Talk to her, Jesus. Praise God. Talk to her. Guide her. Guide her. That's what I pray. Amen. You doing good? I bless you, Jesus.
Come fill me. Come fill me.
Which was stolen from you. I see it in the spirit. That which was stolen from you and that which was ripped from you. And when it was ripped from you, it just ripped a bunch of stuff away. And the Lord said, there's nobody better to restore things than me. I am the God of restoration. 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 After me, say, Lord, I am going to dig out all the wells. Now just listen a minute. We're not done. Just listen a minute. I carry this with me because we're all the same, folks. We might have different authority in different places, but we're all fighting the same fight. I carry this stuff with me. This is my prayer book. Here's 6 steps to get your well dug out and get the water flowing again. 1, you got to recognize that you have wells that are clogged. You have to. Some people don't even get it. They don't understand what's wrong with them. They don't understand why it's not working. 2, you got to recognize that the enemy has done this. Philistines are into dirt. Run with Philistines, you'll be dirty. They'll fill your wonderful walk with God with other stuff. 3, it's time for you to rise up and push back. No well can dig itself out. Your church attendance isn't going to fix itself. The time you spend in your Bible Your Bible can't fix that. Your purity and holiness, your pastor can lead and feed, but he can't do anything about repenting for you. See? It's time to rise up and push back and say, I'm digging these wells out. I'm all done with this lukewarm stuff and this have.
Amen.
Number four, you got to dig, man. It takes a shovel called prayer. And many times it takes an even bigger shovel called fasting. Sometimes you just cannot break the power of the flesh and bad habits that are hurting your own life without severe fasting and without prayer. Some of you, I'm not judging you. I'm trying to tell you how to dig the well up. You don't praise and worship when we praise and worship. You're watching. You're looking. It's entertainment or something. Praise and worship is one of the greatest cleansing agents that God ever gave us. You can be in a horrible fix and come in here, and a good team can take you right to your well and help you start digging it out where life starts to flow again. Amen. Nothing is greater in your life than the holy altars of God. Many times you can't dig out these wells at home. I'd like to take an hour and tell you why that is, but it doesn't really matter why it is. The point is, it's the way it is. That's why God never assigned the grocery store to have an altar, or the laundromat, or the car dealer, or the university. God's house has the holy altar. And many times, in order to get the flow again, it's going to take not a visit. It's going to take some time at the altar. Tonight, in a few minutes, when we finally close, we're going to leave the altar open for a while. Because some of you, it'd be okay if we laid hands on you and anointed you. That's all right. But some people, they just need to come and be found with God and say, Lord, I got this part of my life all clogged up, and I need you, the God of the altar, to clean that thing out. Help me clean it out. Amen. Number five, you got to build up your hedges or your fences. I'm a military man, and I train Marines for combat and certain missions. And in combat, there's a thing called the avenue of approach. So we're on this hill, and this whole side here is rocky cliffs. This whole side here is a bunch of briars and stuff. But right here is a grass field. Well, any smart enemy is going to use that as the avenue of approach. Well, in the spirit realm, the demons do the same thing. So you got to find out where your weakness is and build it up with the power of God and the Word of God. Okay? And number six, we got to go back to enjoying living water. We really do. We got to go back to coming to church and really enjoying it, coming to prayer and really enjoying it, coming to worship and praise and actually enjoying it instead of saying, oh, I hope they hurry. My favorite show is on at 9:30 or something. Okay? Now, tomorrow, if you come in the morning, I'm going to give you the 18 wells of life. We mentioned about six of them tonight. And if you can concentrate on these, now we won't be able to preach on all 18 or help you get through them. But if you know what they are, some people do, some don't. They're defined in the Bible. If you can take all 18 wells of life to your prayer closet and one at a time say, am I clogged up in this? Is this one of my wells that's clogged up? Right? Then you can do something about getting the corrosion out, getting the sand out. Amen? Now, I feel led of the Spirit to do one more thing. If you're bound by something, now I don't know, there's a lot of somethings, but something's got in your life and it's got you bound. You can't seem to break away from it. I'm not going to interview you. We don't do any Holy Ghost interviews. So I'm not going to ask you what it is. We're not going to have you stand in front of the church and tell the whole world. But if you got something in your life and you say, Doc, no joke, this practice, this habit, this thing, this substance, whatever, it's got me bound. and I can't seem to get free. You work your way up here right now. Just come stand with me. Amen. I'll wait just a minute. Just if that's you, say, just come on. Say, I gotta get free from this thing. I gotta get free from it. It's got me all stopped up and bound up. I'll just wait a minute. Sing again, Sean, or guys, if you will. Sing again just while people come. And then Brother Crab's going to come and wrap up our night, and we're going to hit it again tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll do a little less preaching and a little more working, digging out. I declare freedom. I declare freedom. I declare freedom. Lord, we need to be free. We desperately need to be free from all hindering forces. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. I'll tell you how I know this, because I used to be so bound with everything, man. And once we're free, you know it. You've tasted some freedom. Yeah, it's a wonderful thing. Now, Lord, whatever it is, whatever it is on their life, you know what it is. You know what it is, Lord. You know what it is, Lord. You know what it is, Lord. Josh, come help me. Come help me now. Come on.
I just want you, Jesus.
You have that deliverance ministry. We're going to lay hands on you. La ba so la ba do la. To be free. Once and for all. To be free. To be free. La ba so la ma da ba ba sha ka do. To be free now. Once and for all. Freedom.
Freedom.
It's not too good to be true. It's not too good to be true. Freedom. Thank you, Lord. Now he knows freedom, Lord. He's been set free before and since. Help him get rid of this whole thing. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lava so lava to lava shakado lava hasakado. Freedom.
Wait.
Freedom from. Lava shakado shakado. He calls you to serve you.
I just want Jesus. You, my Lord. I just want you.
Put him down.
Oh, Jesus. I just want you.
Sacagola, freedom. Once and for all. Not too good to be true. Finally. Lava sakata lava shikala manda lava sakata.
I just want you.
Once and for all now, this is
Jesus.
It. This is that anointing you've been looking for to break this thing once and for all. Ha. In the name of Jesus. In the name of
Jesus.
To the next level now. Bless him. Let him be free from this once and for all. Never to deal with it again. And then help him set so many other people free in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
For all, Lord, you
never to return.
Oh,
toward heaven Jesus. One time.
Oh, we want, we want, we want you all. We want
you're all I want. You're everything I need.
We trust you enjoyed this message. For more information about Pastor Jim Crabb and Imago Dei, please visit our website at imagodeicincy.com. imagodeicincy.com.